You guys go ahead and take your Bibles and turn to Proverbs chapter 4. We're going to have a couple more worship songs afterwards, but I wanted to start the sermon a little bit earlier tonight. So go ahead and take your Bibles, turn to Proverbs chapter 4, get your note cards out, get a pen. There should be pens and note cards and all that kind of stuff in the back of your chair. You guys having a good night so far? All right. It's good to be here. It is good to be here. So this is week 5 and the final week in our sermon series called A Good Fear. Now, what book of the Bible have we been reading through? Proverbs. That wasn't very enthusiastic. Let me hear it again. There we go. Okay, cool. Just making sure you guys are alive. So this sermon series, A Good Fear, this is the last week. And so let's just take a second to recap what we've learned so far from the very first 4 chapters of the book of Proverbs. Wisdom is not an idea. Sorry, that's the wrong one. There we go. All right, so to recap what we've done, tonight's our final week. And so for those of you guys that maybe you've missed one week or you skipped a podcast or whatever, or you're just forgetful like I am sometimes, we've been studying the book of Proverbs, learning so much about the wisdom of God, why we need it, how to get it, and what to do with it. And so Proverbs says that, one, wisdom starts with a good fear. And that was week 1, a fear of the Lord, not the same type of fear you'd have from a fear of spiders or snakes or glitter in my book. I'm afraid of glitter, I'm sorry. But a fear of the Lord, a proper fear, which is more like a deep reverence or respect. Number 2, Proverbs says that fearing is trusting God, and that was week 2 in this sermon series. Number 3, we learned that wisdom is not a set of ideas, it's a person, Jesus Christ. Jesus was wisdom embodied. And then 4, wisdom is only understood when it's acted upon. Is that wisdom, when we don't actually apply it and live it out, is not really wisdom to us, it's simply empty knowledge. Wisdom is to be used. And so that's something that we learned last week. And then tonight, and the title of the message and the bottom line is, wisdom is anchored in God's word, not our feelings. Wisdom is anchored in God's word and not our feelings. And so if you remember last week, we read the first half of Proverbs chapter 4. And it's a very long chapter. And tonight we're going to be in the second half of Proverbs chapter 4. So if you've got a Bible, look down to verse 20 through 27 in Proverbs chapter 4. It says, "My child, pay attention to what I say. Listen carefully to my words. Don't lose sight of them. Let them penetrate deep into your heart, for they bring life to those who find them, and they bring healing to the whole body. Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Avoid all perverse talk. Stay away from corrupt speech. Look straight ahead and fix your eyes on what lies before you. Mark out a straight path for your feet and stay on the safe path. Don't get sidetracked. Keep your feet from following evil." Proverbs is constantly telling us that wisdom is a person to know and a path to walk. You see this idea of paths a lot throughout Scripture. Throughout the Old Testament, these paths, Proverbs talking a lot about paths. And then guess what? Jesus showed up on the scene in the New Testament, started doing ministry and started teaching God's truth. And what did he talk about a lot? He talked about the path. So the path is really important. Last week we learned there are 2 kinds of paths in this life. There are the path toward Christ-likeness and the path away from Jesus. Basically, the path to walk in wisdom and the path to walk in foolishness. And because of their 2 paths, there are 2 types of people in the world. There are people who walk in wisdom, and there are people who walk in a way that seems right to themselves. Proverbs is constantly telling us this. And God saves us from our sin, and we're to walk a path toward Christ-likeness, becoming more and more like him and less like our old selves before we were saved. And this path is a journey, though. It's not an instant thing where we wake up the next day and we experience perfect feelings and think perfect thoughts and we do perfect actions. It just doesn't work that way. We walk a path. It's a journey toward Christ and becoming more like him, allowing him to make us more and more like him with each step because our focus is on him. He's the destination. He's the prize. He's the goal. So Solomon, the author of the book of Proverbs, he's writing most of Proverbs down for his son. That's why this proverb began, and in the middle point that we broke and resumed in Proverbs chapter 4, it says, "My child, pay attention." And so this is a very godly father who's walked with the Lord, is passing on the Lord's wisdom that God gave him, passing it on to his son. So Proverbs is Solomon writing to his son, continually encouraging him to stay on the right path, to walk in the way of wisdom instead of the way that seems right to him. Solomon's taught his son how to walk in God-honoring ways. He's taught, he's instilled, he's modeled. And he's taught his son that he needs God's heart in order to be able to do this in the first place. We learned last week that wisdom is knowledge of God that's actually lived out. Wisdom proves itself in our actions. Solomon told his son, if you trust me, you'll actually do what I told you to do in your life. I'm not going to tell you what to do with your life, but I'm going to tell you the right things to do in life. Solomon wrote all of this down under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit so that God, our Heavenly Father, could pass his wisdom to his children, us, those who are saved. That's found in the Bible. We're God's children. Now, Christ walked perfectly in wisdom because he was God's word lived out. The Bible calls Jesus the Word made flesh, the Word meaning God's perfect truth. And now he wants you and I to know how to walk in the way of wisdom so that we can live the life we were created to live, worshiping and honoring our Heavenly Father in all that we think, do, say, and feel. And Christ showed us the way to do this. Our feelings are powerful. Our feelings can get the best of us sometimes. So the Pixar movie, Inside Out, who's ever seen it? Love it. It's so genius as it illustrates this for us, these feelings that are so powerful. The main character is this girl named Riley, who experiences the changes of growing up, the challenges of being parented and learning to strike out on your own and make decisions and experience the ups and downs of life. Now, to illustrate how powerful these feelings are, the movie assigned characters to the spectrum of human feelings and human emotions. They're little characters that seem to live inside of Riley, and they have this master control center inside of her, and they control how she lives out her life, how she responds to things, how she makes decisions. So take a quick look at this movie clip. We're going to start this clip over with sound. There is a dangerous...
Here we go. All right, open.
This looks new.
Think it's safe?
What is it?
Okay, caution. There is a dangerous smell, people. Hold on, what is that?
This is disgust. She basically keeps Riley from being poisoned, physically and socially.
That is not brightly colored or shaped like a dinosaur. Hold on, guys. It's broccoli! Yuck!
I just saved our lives. Ooh. Yeah, you're welcome.
Riley, if you don't eat your dinner, you're not gonna get any dessert.
Wait, did he just say we couldn't have dessert?
That's anger. He cares very deeply about things being fair.
So that's how you wanna play it, old man? No dessert? Oh, sure. We'll eat our dinner right after you eat this.
Riley, honey, here comes an airplane.
Oh. Airplane. We got an airplane, everybody.
And that is my life pretty much every dinner time because I have a 2-year-old. Now, the video shows just how powerful feelings are and how feelings respond to circumstances in our lives. Now, this was a very small thing, but if you watch the movie, the things that Riley ends up responding to get bigger and bigger and bigger. Feelings are real, but they're not always true. The things we feel are very strong. And I'm not here to tell you that the anger that you feel, or the hurt that you feel, or the sadness that you feel, I'm not here to tell you those things aren't real. They're very real. Very real feelings, but we need to understand that the banner of modern culture, the culture that we live in, the banner waves in big, bold letters, listen to your heart. follow your heart. Now, the problem is scripture in the book of Jeremiah says that the human heart is the most deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. Who really knows how bad it is? See, we all have a problem. We have broken and sinful hearts that lead us astray. They lead us off the path. Proverbs 29 says, whoever trusts his own heart is a fool. Our sinful actions are first sinful feelings that have simply given birth. There's no such thing as, look what you made me do. You know when someone responds in anger and they're just so angry and they do something regrettable and they say, look what you made me do. You made me get that angry. Or maybe they do something really hurtful. Well, if it wasn't for you, I wouldn't have done this. Spouses who spouses who cheat on each other will often say, if it wasn't for you being this, then I would have never needed to find that somewhere else. Or how about when your friend reacts in a way that's very offending to you and you react in a way that's even more offending to kind of get back at him? And you say something like, if it wasn't because of what you did, this would have never happened to you. But see, according to scripture, there's no such thing as look what you made me do. Our sinful actions are first sinful feelings that simply give birth. And we are all responsible for those. Solomon is teaching his son because Solomon's walked with God in wise ways for a lifetime. And he wants his son to experience the same goodness that comes from doing just that. So there's a story of a man who he was on a business trip for a few days, and it's time for him to fly home. He's tired. His brain is just shot from all the meetings, all the stressful presentations that he's had to give. And he's trying to catch a late-night flight home so that he can be back with his wife and kids. So he's in the airport at night. And he's waiting on his flight. He doesn't quite have enough time to grab dinner. All the dinner places are probably going to close soon anyways. And so he stops at this little airport kiosk shop that just sells snacks. He doesn't want chips. He wants something sweet. Something that's going to make him feel a little bit better. He reaches for the Lorna Doone. Does anybody know what the Lorna Doone cookie is? It is one of the best prepackaged cookies you can ever buy. And you can get it in so many awesome flavors. And those cookies are amazing. He reaches for the Lorna Doone because in that moment, he needs this. And so he buys it and he goes and sits down. And it was chocolate chip, by the way. He sits down at his gate and there's so many seats because this is the last flight out. And so the only open seat is next to it's next to an elderly woman, and so he sets his bag down. He sticks the cookies in there, and he's like, oh, man, I got to use the restroom real quick. So he goes and uses the restroom, washes up, comes back, and thankfully his seat is still open, so he sets his bag down again next to her, and he pops open his book, and he starts reading, and then he reaches down, and he just grabs a cookie and starts eating it. And he's getting really into this book, and all of a sudden he hears this crinkle, 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 crinkle. And he looks over, and the woman is eating a cookie that looks just like the ones he bought. And at first, he doesn't think of anything of it. Then he sees her reach down and grab another one. And he's like, this woman is stealing my cookies. And so he's getting all, like, heated, but he's like, I just cannot believe. I cannot believe someone would do that. And so then he reaches down and grabs a cookie real quick. He's like, and he's trying to, like, make all, like, the non-verbal cues. You know, and he's eating this cookie, and he's just eating it really fast because he wants to eat the other one before she takes that one, too. And he just can't muster the courage to say, those are my cookies, woman. And then he starts to reach down, and he feels a hand in the bag. And they both touch the last cookie, and she looks up at him, and she goes, oh, did you want the last one? And so he grabs his stuff and his book, and he gets up, and he storms off, and he finds just a spot over the floor. He sits down, and he opens his bag, and there's an unopened package of cookies in there, and he realizes the entire time he was eating her cookies. See, he felt such strong emotions about what was happening in his life, and he was close to doing something very regrettable to an elderly woman. Our feelings are real, but sometimes they're not true. So in order to be sure that you and I understand which path to walk on and how to discern what's truth and what's a feeling, we need to understand that wisdom in it is anchored in God's word, not our feelings. So let's break down the second half of Proverbs chapter 4 so that we can walk away with an understanding of God's word, the type of understanding that's going to change how we walk that path, how we discern our thoughts and our feelings, and how we measure them up against scripture, and that way they always lead to God-honoring actions as a result. So we're going to break it down verse by verse. If you're taking notes, verses 20 and 21 says, "My child, pay attention to what I say. Listen carefully to my words. Don't lose sight of them. Listen to, look for, and meditate on the wisdom of God," is what Solomon is saying. Listen to, look for, and meditate on the wisdom of God. Wisdom is a process of receiving the right words and listening to the right voices and focusing on the right things. You will continually listen to the voice that you trust. Whose voice and what message are you listening to? There are competing voices and competing advice in our lives each and every day, and they're all competing for your heart. Why? Just like that video that we watched from the Pixar movie, because the heart is the command center for your entire life. And your actions flow from it. Your beliefs flow from it. The heart is the throne room. And whoever sits on that throne calls the shots and rules the day. Verse 22 says, "Let them penetrate," my words, "let them penetrate deep into your heart, for they bring life to those who find them, and for they bring and they bring healing to the whole body." God's wisdom is life-giving, and it's healthy. It builds up and never destroys what is good. So your ears and eyes are known as the gateway to the heart. We have to ask ourselves who we're allowing in there. And then as a result, what we're allowing out. Are you surrounding yourself with influences that point you to Jesus and the things that he says that are true? Or are you surrounding yourself with influences that tempt you to stray from the path of walking in wisdom? They tempt you to walk off the path onto another one that's called walking in a way that seems right to you. See, listening and receiving are two different things as well. Listening to and receiving are two different things, because listening to means, yeah, I'm hearing your words, but receiving them means I'm receiving them, letting them take root down into my heart. See, wisdom brings life and health. Wisdom reverses the curse of sin and death. Sinfulness only gives way to more sinfulness, but wisdom gives way to more wisdom. Remember, we talked about last week, wisdom only gets better. Verse 23 says, "Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life." Many of you guys have heard this voice. You're going to hear it. Sorry, you've heard this verse, and you're going to hear it a lot in your life. So what you truly believe will dictate the path of your life. Receiving God's truth. Remember, there's a difference between listening to and actually receiving. Receiving God's truth in his word will lead to actual change in a person. It'll change a life. And Jesus promises this. You know the phrase, take it to heart. Take this to heart. That's a really common phrase that we hear. You'll hear it in scripture a lot. When the writer is pleading that you truly understand the message, like you truly understand it, receive it, believe it, hoping that it brings change to the hearer. Jesus came and he went after what? He went after hearts, not actions. Because he knew simple behavior modification wouldn't be lasting, he needs to go for the root in the heart. The heart is crucial. And that's why we want things to be received. We want things to take root deep down in our heart, so that when someone offers a really sincere apology, maybe somebody that offends you, and they offer a really sincere apology, and you're telling your friends about it, how do you describe it? You say, it seems really heartfelt. The heart is everything. It's sincere. It brings actual change. Verse 24 says, "Avoid all perverse talk. Stay away from corrupt speech." Let me tell you, they're talking about
way more than just four-letter curse words here. Be careful how you use your voice and who you allow to speak into your life is what it's talking about. Be careful what you're telling people, what counsel you're actually giving them, and be careful who you allow to speak into your life. Because remember, you listen to the voice that you trust. So there are songs, there are books, movies, TV shows, there are friends, there are family members, there are love interests, there are teachers and mentors and coaches, public icons, social media accounts, so much more. Those things are all voices. And they're working and competing to convey a message that each of those individual things is very passionate about. And those voices truly believe that what they have to say is right. But all of those voices in our lives, they're going to try and tell us what to do. They're going to try and tell us how to think, what decisions we need to make, and how we go about making decisions. Now, our hearts get to work at filtering those messages, and they begin to form feelings. And those feelings give birth to actions, responses, emotions. Maybe you worship the approval of others. Maybe you worship status in this world. Maybe you worship material things in this world. The point is you have misplaced your worship, and you seek things in this broken world that can only be found in Jesus. You seek to be healed in ways that only Jesus can heal. You seek to be built up in only ways that Jesus can build up. You seek security in things that only Jesus can offer security in. Verse 25 says, look straight ahead and fix your eyes on what lies before you. He's telling us to focus on Christ and the path to Christ-likeness. Focus on what you're supposed to be doing as a believer and trust God with the rest. It's like, I mean, we watched a video clip of a toddler trying to be fed, and it's real. Like, whoever made that, they've raised toddlers before. It's like reminding a toddler to be on task at mealtime. For some reason, dinner time is the worst. Maybe it's because they're tired. But it's like, hey, pay attention to what you're supposed to be doing here. Pay attention to the assignment. Pay attention to the plate of food in front of you. It's there for your good. And you need to eat it. You need to eat it a little bit quicker because when it gets cold, you won't want it. Eat your dinner. Eat your broccoli. You need it. We're always focusing on something, ladies and gentlemen. Are you focusing on what you're supposed to? Or are you like a toddler whose your parents are trying to get you to dinner and they're constantly reminding you, hey, hey, this is your assignment. Hey, hey, this is your assignment. Toddlers want to play with their toys. Playing with toys is not in itself sinful, but it's not what they're supposed to be doing at the moment. You want them to eat their dinner because it's going to be good for them. You want them to grow. Verse 26 says, mark out a straight path for your feet and stay on the safe path. It says, basically saying, know the wise steps to take to get there. He just talked about stay on the path to Christ-likeness, and now know the wise steps to get yourself there. Stay in God's word. Stay in prayer. Stay around wise, godly counselors. Be at church. Listen to sermons. Listen to music that actually glorifies God instead of glorifying empty things in the world or even worse, glorifying ourselves. Learn to discern your feelings versus God's truth. Surround yourself with the right voice because you'll learn to listen and trust one voice in your life. What voice is that going to be? And then verse 27, he says, don't get sidetracked. Keep your feet from following evil. He's not nervous to call anything but following Christ evil. A lot of times we want to sugarcoat it and not call it that. But remember, there's only two paths in this life, the path toward Christ and the path walking away from him. Walk the path of wisdom no matter what, is what he's saying to his son. Walk the path of wisdom no matter what happens. So when you're like, why am I so offended by what everyone else says and does? Am I caring more about what others think of me instead of what God says is true and how I'm to react? Or maybe you're like, I'm so worried about the future, it keeps me up at night. And I'm craving control over my future and my life instead of surrendering it to God and trusting how he wants to use me for his kingdom plan. Or maybe you're like, I care about going to church, but I become so different, though, when I focus on my sports and my grades and my college applications, because I want to make sure that I'm successful, even though I know it's almost breaking me right now. So these are the feelings that we sometimes feel. But we need to measure using God's word instead. The only hope we have of being able to actually be wise and walk in wisdom is to have wisdom living in us. And remember, wisdom is not a list of great tips or ideas. Wisdom is a person. It's Jesus. We need Jesus.